Very pleased to be here this evening. Been looking forward to being here for many months. Thank you to the elders for the opportunity and the invitation to be with you. If you're visiting here tonight, we're very happy you're here. If you're not here visiting, we're happy you're here as well. I want to talk to you for a little while about our Lord Jesus. And before I begin to do that, I'd ask you to turn to the book of Mark chapter 4. I want to talk to you about Jesus tonight, and I want to say before I begin that that is appropriate that we do that here. It's also appropriate to talk about Jesus in any home, any assembly hall, any business place, or hillside, or mountain, or cave, or any place you may find yourself at the Texas Tech football game. It's appropriate to discuss Jesus. I want to put that in your mind tonight, and I want to remind you of that as we go through the week. I hope you feel that tonight is worthy of your time. I hope you feel that you've worshiped in a way that's acceptable. The book of Mark, chapter 4, will begin in verse 35. The Bible says, "And the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent the multitude away, they took him, even as he was, into the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they wake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." You know, this is a wonderful account we have to consider today, and it's designed upon us especially to impress on us the nature of Jesus our Lord. There's a little phrase that we read there, and I read over it really kind of quickly, but I want you to go back and notice it with me now. I'm going to base my remarks from this verse in 36. They took him even as he was. I don't know if perhaps you've ever noticed that. They took him even as he was. How would you like to have Jesus? Do you want him just like he is? Would you like to change him a little bit? Would you like to give him a makeover, perhaps, and freshen him up, and let's modernize him? Or do you want him just as he is? Now, I'm not 100% sure what this refers to, other than exactly what it says. I don't suppose the disciples knew exactly what he was. They maybe didn't even understand him the way we do today, but I just know this one thing. They took him just the way he was. I think we have to learn to take him as he is. I think we need to study about him, and I think we need to realize what he is, and I think we've got to take him just the way he is. You know, Jesus is a lot of things to a lot of people, and I think a lot of people today want to make him into something that he is not. But I want to make a point with you tonight. Number one, they took him without change. They took him without change. And I see a lot of people today that seem to change him. And the way they want to change him today is to give him credit for something that maybe he did or he didn't do. I see sports figures today that they thank God and they thank Jesus for helping them make the game-winning play. Well, I suppose if that's true, God loved the Seattle Seahawks better than any others. Or maybe he's down on Texas Tech a little bit. They haven't been winning a whole lot lately. I'm a Tech fan, so don't take me wrong. I don't believe God's interested in our games. And to say he gave me the ability to make the winning play may be true. He gives us all our abilities. The famous speak of him as if he's an American Jesus who loves the Grammy Awards. You know, just because you think it's so, doesn't make it so. I see celebrities say today, Jesus came into my life and totally changed me. Well, you know, In the book of Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, the Bible says, Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." And it seems as if they want to change him into a special deity, interested only in the rich and famous. Why doesn't God come into the life of the homeless and totally change them, if he'll do that for the rich or the famous? Why isn't that the case? Well, we can't change him. In the book of Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Though he were son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." You know, Jesus is perfect, and if you change him, then he's no longer going to be perfect. If you change Jesus, he's no longer perfect. You've got to take him just like he is. He's not the God of the rich and famous. He's not the God of the poor and lonely. He's the God of us all. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever." He's the Lord of 2014. He hadn't changed. He's not changed. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 24, the Bible says, "But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood." You know, I think that's a wonderful passage of Scripture. He has an unchangeable priesthood. He'll never change. He'll be the same for me today as he is for my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren and ever how long time stands. He'll be the same for them. He'll offer salvation to them, just the way he's offered it for me and you. And that's the way it's going to be. I think there's a lot of changing that needs to be done, but the changes are going to have to be made by you and by me. We're not going to change him. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, the Bible says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus came to change the lost. That was his mission. To change the lost to the saved. Isn't that wonderful? We all have an interest in that. That's his mission today. He's still the same Lord. He's still just like he was. He's still changing the lost to the saved. In John chapter 2, verse 25, the Bible says, "He needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew not what was in man." He knows who needs to change. He knows who's lost. He knows the condition of every soul. He knows how many hairs are on each one of our heads. Bald preachers love to use that verse because it always gets a smile from the crowd. But it's true. He knows. You know, he knows what everyone here specifically and individually needs to change. And he blesses us to be able to do that. He blesses us with his word and with his love. And the Bible says the Spirit utters groanings which we cannot utter. He works to help us change and be what he'd have us to be. He doesn't just kick us out on the ground and say go and leave us no help at all. In the book of John chapter 10 verse 10, the Bible says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." And I want you to let us listen to Jesus. "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Jesus wants you to have the kind of life that will please him and that will be an abundant life. But if you try to change Jesus, you won't have it. You couldn't. You can't. It's impossible. Jesus said in John 11 verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Jesus came to give you life instead of death. In Titus 2 verse 14, he says, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. He came to purify us. He came to make you pure. And the only way that you can be pure is to submit your life to his will and follow his commandments and be like him. But people want to change him today. Do you ever try to change his teachings? You know, I hear people try to do that. You probably all heard a story about someone who's cut a passage of scripture out of their Bible and thrown it away as if it will change that teaching. It's no longer there. See, clearly gone. Not in my Bible. It doesn't change the teaching. People today try to change his nature. Take away his deity and say, well, he's a good man, maybe even a good prophet, but not the Son of God. They want to change him that way. They want to change his miracles, perhaps. It wasn't a Jesus who walked on the water. That was some apparition or some other thing. Or maybe they want to change the man himself and say he could never have been born of a virgin. You know, the Revised Standard Version changes the word virgin to young woman. I'll tell you what, that's a pretty big change. That's a pretty significant change. Well, I'm going to tell you, changing the words in the book doesn't change Jesus. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20, the Bible says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Can't change it. You can't change that. How feeble it must seem to God for us to try to change such a thing. I can think really hard and I can't grow an inch. Not upward. I can eat a whole bunch and I can grow my pants an inch, but I can't change. The leopard can't change his spots. It's just how Jesus is. We'll have to accept it. Number two, accept him as he is today. That's what we must do. In Matthew 16 and verse 21, the Bible says, from that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now I want you to listen. This is what Jesus told them was going to happen. It had to happen. Verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. You know, Peter didn't think this is going to work. We're going to change this. It's not going to happen this way, Lord. I won't have it. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. I don't want it this way. I won't be that way. I won't do that. You know, Peter just had to accept it. In Luke 24 and verse 46, the Bible says, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. We can't change what he said was going to happen. He said repentance and remission of sins. You know, a lot of people don't want to repent today. I want to accept Jesus. I want to ask Jesus in my heart, but I want to go ahead and live in sin. It won't work. I want to take him in my life and I want to say I'm a Christian, but I want to go out and drink and party and carouse and fornicate. It don't work. He said repentance and remission of sins. It's part of his plan. It's God's will that you repent. That's God's will. And you can get mad. You can blame a preacher. You can blame a church. You can hold your breath till you turn blue. And it will not change. What's God's will? He says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16, "For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth." His testament is in force today because he died on the cross. You ever think about that? The reason the New Testament's in force, because he died. You'll have to accept him. You'll have to accept his cross. You'll have to accept his death, burial, and resurrection. You'll have to accept his purpose in your life. I see a lot of people today, they want to accept Christ on their terms. I'll worship Jesus if and when I want to. I'll worship Jesus out in the field. I'll worship Jesus while I'm watching TV or watching a football game. I'm here to tell you, folks, it won't work. You're going to have to do it his way. Do you think it's multiple choice? In John chapter 1, verse 7. I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. He says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins." Are you walking in the light? Do you know what that means, to walk in the light as he is in the light? To live like Jesus lived? You know, I'm going to be the first one to confess. I sin. I do wrong and I mess up. You know, to walk in the light is to make an effort to walk the way Jesus walked. To follow the path that he trod. Day in and day out, to live to serve him and follow him and be dedicated unto him. But if you turn around and say, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to worship. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to read. I'm not going to tell other people about our Lord. It just don't work. If you get out of the light, then you get away from the cleansing of the blood. You can't change it. Number three, you know, they took him even with his body. I'm pretty simple, but when they took him into the ship, they took his body. They took him into the ship, or else the sea would have never been calmed. You know, people today ask the Lord to come down and touch them in a special way. Had a man told me one time, he said, "As soon as I accepted Christ, my desire for cigarettes vanished." He said, "I never have wanted a cigarette again." I said, "I think that's odd." I really do. I think that's odd. He touched you in a special way. Why do other people struggle with that? Why don't he touch the alcoholic, the drug addict, those who are addicted to lust? Why don't he touch them in some special way when they name Christ? You know, what if Peter said, "Lord, I don't want your head. I want your hands." And what if John said, "Well, I'll take his head, but I don't want his feet." And what if we just took bits and pieces? You know, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus said, "Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, he says, "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things." Now listen, "to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." The church is the Lord's body. Do you want the Lord today? Then you've got to take his body. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 says, "He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he might have the preeminence." You know, if you don't take the body of Jesus, you can't have his head. He can't be your head if you don't take his body. Some things just go together. And you can't have one without the other. In Exodus chapter 5, verse 2, Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" You know, a lot of people don't understand our Lord today. Many people don't understand his body. And because they don't understand it, they say, "Well, I don't want it." You know, I had a person tell me not too long ago, "I don't want anything to do with organized religion. I don't want anything to do with it." Well, they don't understand. What they're trying to do is change Jesus. Because I don't understand, I want you to give me a special thing, a special place, a special home, a special relationship, because I don't understand. That won't work. You have to accept him totally with his body. Now listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." There's only one. There's only one body of the Lord. And if you reject that body, you reject our Lord. You've got to take him as he is with his body. And that's the church. Praising God, Acts chapter 2, verse 47. "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." The New King James says, "such as were being saved." The Lord adds us to his body. And he does that when we're baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. And when we contact the blood of Jesus, praise God, we're placed into his body. And that's where he wants us to be. That's where he's designed a home for us. That's where he's put us to grow and care for us. If we're part of the vine, then we grow. And if we're not a part of the vine, we're chopped off. Number four, they took him with his authority. In the book of John chapter 20 and verse 30, the Bible says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." When you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the written word has power. You know, those people saw the deeds of Jesus, and they knew he had power. Jesus said in Matthew 28, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." And he uses that power for good. In John chapter 6, verse 38, he says, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." He became the author of eternal salvation, and no other man can authorize it. No other man. No preacher. No rock star. No government. He became the author of eternal salvation. In Mark chapter 2, verse 7, the Pharisees says, "Why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" They didn't understand. We're going to change this. We're not going to let this man forgive sins. Jesus has all power, doesn't he? When Jesus comes to the lame, he says, "Arise and walk." They get up and walk. When Jesus is at the raging sea, he says, "Peace be still." And there's a great calm. He had power then and he has power today because he's never changed. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Now, how many people do you know that try to change that? I want to tell you, there's thousands and thousands and thousands today who look me right in the eye and they say, "You don't have to be baptized." That's not what Jesus said. Don't try to change it. Accept it. Be obedient to it. And He'll bless us. He'll bless you when you obey His will. When you don't try to change Him and you submit yourself to Him, you'll be blessed and you'll be strengthened. And when you do what He says, you'll be in His kingdom. You'll be a part of His body. As we close, would you turn with me to John chapter 13? We'll read a passage I'm sure is familiar to many of you or all of you. John 13, we'll begin in verse 4. Speaking of Jesus, the Bible said, "He riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded." Now, it's just plain as day. He's got some water there. He's got a towel. He's taking those people's feet, and he's washing their feet. I can picture that in my mind. I see Jesus kneeled down, stooped down on the ground, holding that old foot, washing it clean, paying a little more attention to a really stained and grimy spot. He's cleaning that foot, and he dries it off with that towel. Now, verse 6, "Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet." This ain't going to work. This is not going to happen. You are not going to wash my feet. You know how many of us are that way? My dad, I've heard him tell my mom, "You'd argue with fence post." That never did stop her argument, I noticed. That seems like Peter. "Lord, what are you doing?" And Jesus plainly said, "You don't understand what I'm doing." He told him, "You're not going to wash my feet." He just ignored that part. "You're not going to do it." And I want you to notice what he says. "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." And Simon Peter saith unto him, "Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head." You're not going to just wash my feet then. I'm not going to have it that way either, Lord. You're not going to just wash my feet. You're going to wash my hands and my head too. My goodness, Peter, make up your mind. That's how we are. A lot of people in the world today, "Oh, I don't want Jesus that way. I don't have to go do that." And then something happens, they say, "I'm going to do more than that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Let's just stop for a minute, folks. And let's look at what the Lord has asked us to do. Let's just do that. That's all He wants. Just do what I've asked you to do. Don't add to it. Don't take from it. It's all right there in the book. And when we do what He's asked us to do, every time He's pleased. When we do what He's asked us to do, every time He'll forgive our sins. When we do what He's commanded us to do, every time there's a blessing. Are you here today and trying to change Him? Don't do that. Don't do that any longer. Just accept Him. Accept Him as He is. Submit to His will and be baptized into Christ become a part of His body, and take His commandments, take His cross, and follow Him, and you'll be blessed every day of your life. The lesson is yours this evening. I hope it stirred your mind in a good way. We're here tonight because we want to be a help to you if we can. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what troubles or difficulties you may have, but I'll tell you one thing, Jesus knows. And beyond that, He knows how to fix it. He knows how to help you. If you got problems and heartaches, He knows how to help you. If you're not a Christian, He will help you if you'll come to Jesus as we sing.